Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
White Sox fans ready to party. Sox Fest 2019 underway. Southsiders rebuild continues. Big-time prospects getting ever so close to the big leagues. And the team is getting closer to becoming a playoff contender. Sports Talk Live on location from the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue, and it all starts right now. Welcome in here to the Hilton on South Michigan. It is Sox Fest 2019, a bevy of the Sox best players. Pitching coach Don Cooper here. We got the great Chuck Garfine. I'm David Kaplan. And as always, our show brought to you by the folks with the Chevy Silverado. Lucas Giolito, Don Cooper, Chuck Garfine. It's good to be back with you guys. You were on this show a year ago. It's hard to believe 12 months have gone that fast. But how are you feeling and how amped up are you to take this next step?
Feeling great. Yeah, I mean, it has been a quick 12 months, that's for sure. Got a full year of experience under my belt now. First full year last year. Took a lot away from it. Learned a lot, and it's got me very well prepared to, like you said, take that next step, build that consistency, and have a good solid year next year.
What is your thoughts on this young man here? He's got a great arsenal, and people are looking for the Sox to take a big step.
Listen, you know, whether it's Lucas, whether it's Lopi, or anybody that's coming to spring training, we have delved into everything, you know, looking at versus lefty versus righty, you know, his breakdown of pitches to righties and lefties, the batting average. Yeah, we've looked at everything. We are looking for areas that we need to improve on. But when I think of Lucas, in addition to what he said, yeah, this is his first full year in the big leagues, and what I've always said, you know, when a guy comes up and, you know, wins 15 or 20 in his first year and just kicks butt and goes on to a heck of a career, that's the exception to the rule. You know, usually it's guys like Lucas, and I always use John Garland as an example of this. John Garland, for 2 years, people were trying to run him out of town, and we just stayed patient with him and kept working, kept getting after it. He was mentally tough enough to deal with the ups and downs of a major league season, his first two seasons. And, you know, the next year he's helping us win a world championship. So we're hoping something like that is similar to Lucas. Lucas gained a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. Hey, just running out there every day, every 5 days. You know, he's a hop, skip, and a jump away from 200 innings. Not that that's any, doesn't seem to be a real plateau anymore, because there's only 10 or 11 guys in both leagues that have done that over the last 2 years. For me, it has always been and will always be a part of a White Sox starting pitcher's job description. You know, you're taking the bulk of the work. You're out there for 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9. And your job is to give us a chance to win the game by holding the other team at bay. You know, I like quality starts, because what that means is, at least at the end of 6 innings, you're in the ballgame. They've given up maybe, let's say, 3. Perfect. Personally, I think 6 and 2 is better. But the bottom line is, your team's in the game. Wins are arbitrary. I mean, you can be pitching your tail off, but if the team on that individual day isn't catching the ball or hitting the ball, it's tough to get wins. So all you really have control over is what I mentioned a minute ago. Take the bulk of the game, stay out there, give us a chance to win. And if you hang around long enough, you give yourself a better odds of you getting a win. But winning on that day is always the paramount thing.
We were talking earlier, and there was one word you kept saying over and over and over again. What was that word?
Consistency.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the motto for this year. Same goal set as last year, 200 innings, absolutely. When you do that, that means you're doing your job as a starting pitcher.
I'll say this with Lucas. We already have set 200 innings, but how are we going to get there? It's great to have goals, but you better have a plan, or you either don't reach that goal or you reach that goal later than you want. So, and you got to be flexible with the plan as well. It's not as good a plan as you think it is. But if Lucas can cut down on the walks, which means what? Throwing strikes early in the count, getting ahead 0-2, 1-2, that's the goal. with the first three pitches. Make him swing the bat, because if you look at the batting average against Lucas from lefties and righties, they're not hitting the ball that well. You know, the batting average is telling us. The average is telling us. So we need him to throw it over more, but specifically early, because if you do it early and make him swing at the first three, great. We got nine guys with gloves out there. Somebody go catch it. But if they don't hit it, we're 0-2 or 1-2, and your pitching life, everybody's pitching life is going to be happier. A starting pitcher at the major league level has to be at least 3-1 innings to walks. Because, you know, I try to keep it simple. What makes up runs? It's hits and walks. Those are the things we got to keep off the scoreboard. So if we take care of those two columns, everything else will fall into place.
So I always wondered this. Do you call your own pitches? Do you only follow what the catcher says, or is he calling the pitches from the dugout?
He's not calling the pitch from the dugout. We go over the scouting report before the game. We talk about it leading up to the game, and then it's between me and whoever's catching that day.
Okay, so the catcher says we're throwing a fastball, and in your heart, your gut, you're like, no, it's not the right pitch. I got more conviction to throw a slider. Do you have the ability as a young pitcher? You're not, you know, Jack Morris when he was pitching at age 39. Do you have the ability to go, no, or do you have to stick to the game plan that is designed?
Absolutely, the pitcher always has the last say. You want to throw a pitch that you have the most confidence in that given moment. Whether that's the right pitch for the situation or not is something that can be discussed later, and you can learn from that so that the next time you go out there, maybe, oh, given this situation, this guy I'm facing, lefty, righty, whatever it is, now I have the information, I've learned that I'm going to be confident. I'm going to be more confident in this pitch because I know it's the best pitch for the situation.
I don't call pitches. I probably called a handful in 18 years here, something like that. I think I've been around that long. A couple of – but as you guys were talking, I was thinking about A.J. You know, we had Contreras, and when A.J. caught Contreras and or El Duque, he was going bananas because they keep shaking me off. They keep shaking me off. And with El Duque, I said, well, maybe he's got a better idea than you know, because El Duque was pretty successful, and he knew what he wanted to do. Lucas hit it on the head. You got to go with the pitch that you're convicted and belief. You have conviction and belief with that pitch, because it's amazing when you have conviction and belief, how many of those pitches will survive. Like everybody talks about Burley. Burley shook off 10 times in 10 years. The reason being is we couldn't sit down with him. He had ADHD, and when we first were going over the game reports, he's looking around, he's doodling. So we eliminated that from him, and we just gave the information to the catcher. The catcher held the brain, and Burley just went out and threw pitches.
So it's funny.
He believed, but the thing is this. Burley said, put down anything, I'll make the pitch. That's belief and conviction. And again, there was many pitches that weren't located great by Burley that he got away with because he believed in them. You know, and he worked so fast. He had the hitter's mind. You know, they weren't ready sometimes. He could slide step. He did a lot of things. But he never shook off. And on the other hand, Contreras and El Duque would shake off a lot because they had their plan.
So I asked Mark Burley, you brought that name up, and I said to him one day, because we were talking about that he doesn't shake guys off. I said, okay, so you trust your catcher. AJ says we're throwing this, and it gets hit 9 miles. He said, when that ball leaves my fingertips, it's my responsibility,
that's right.
Yeah. Not his.
That's right. That's right. We don't hold the catchers responsible for the pitches. The pitchers are the guys making the pitches. They have the right to say yes or no. We will have discussions in the dugout, and sometimes they can get a little bit
heated.
Heated, but not much. It's like, okay, what were you guys thinking there? But, you know, and other times, what in the heck were you thinking there? You know, he knows his best pitches. The catchers know his best pitches, his top two pitches. Like, let's say he gets ahead of a lefty or a righty. We know what he does best with the fastball, and we know what he does best with the curveball. The changeup.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his two big pitches right now. We're trying to continue to shore up that slider, which made a lot of progress last year with him, as well as the curveball, which made some progress as the year was going on late. And that's the one we're hoping to bring into fold this year right from the get-go. But So, you know, when push comes to shove, you're going to go with your best more often than not. You're not going to go to the third best.
You're
going to
beat me,
best.
Beat my best.
Exactly. Yeah. And if the game's on the line, you don't want to be kicking yourself in the butt on the way home. Why did I go with that when I, you know, it's my fourth best? So it's, a lot of that is just common sense. But our catchers over the years have done a good job.
So you've had games like the game in Houston. Things seem to really come together. You had a really good outing that start. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, are you learning more from your good games or from your bad games about what you need to do up here and what you have and what you need to do to get better?
I learn from both. From the good games, I learn about kind of the rhythm and flow of a start, you know, going deep, what I'm doing correctly, what I'm doing right to move deep through the game, mow through a lineup 2+ times. From the bad games, what I take away from that is what happened where it went wrong. You know, why didn't I make the adjustment there? Why did I, you know, kind of let it get away from me there? And what can I learn so that doesn't happen the next time? So you learn from both.
Yeah. Are there times where you've watched a pitcher warm up, one of your starters, or when you are warming up and you go, oh, God, we're in big trouble. Better get the bullpen ready. And then he goes out and is amazing. And other times where you went, they can't touch me today, and you don't get out of the first inning.
It has no correlation, good or bad, in the bullpen. Because his bullpen doesn't mean anything.
You're just warming up. The bullpen.
There's no hitter in there. You never give many hits and walks or runs in the bullpen, you know. But it's interesting because I've walked in with guys for a long time now. There's many guys, and I've got a couple things that come to mind. Garland was a guy that when we brought him, he's coming in, I'm not throwing a ball. I don't feel like I'm throwing a ball good. I says, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm good. I said, the other team doesn't know that. And the old saying is, if you don't get a good pitcher early, you may not get him, comes true. If a pitcher, the susceptible innings for a pitcher are the first and the fifth and the ninth. Those are the big, big innings. And a lot of guys don't go nine anymore. But if you get through the first, it's almost like, what's that? We're waiting to exhale. I can breathe. I guess I am going to be okay today. But there's many guys that are walking in that I'm not sure. I wonder how it's going to go today. I feel good and I feel confident, but you don't know how it's going to go. You get through that first inning, you're fine. I've had Burley. Again, that I'd be standing on the side and he'd be throwing, and you could see it's not coming out too good. So he'd throw about 8-9 pitches, and he'd look at me, and I'd go, yeah, we've been here before. You know, we've been here before. You'll be fine. And he never panicked. Nothing ever bothered him. And he'd like throw 8 or 9 warm-ups and say, come on, this ain't going to get no better. Let's go. And we just went in and pitched, you know?
How's it been for you when you're in the bullpen and you feel like you got good stuff versus when you – have there been any starts last year? You were out there and you did not have your stuff at all.
Like you said, no correlation. I remember starts where I had no idea where the ball was going in the pen, and then I went 7 innings. And then starts where I felt like I was dotting up in the pen and then, you know, got away in the first or second inning. That has less to do with physically what's going on and more to do with the mental.
In terms of a game plan going in, I watch baseball, every team. It's my favorite sport. I love watching. And I'll see a guy cruising along and then they'll go to the pen and that guy gets 3 up, 3 down. Nope, you were a 7th inning guy. I got to go to my guy in the 8th. Even though the guy in the 7th was locked in and the guy in the 8th gives it up. Is it all pre-scripted in your mind what you're going to do game to game?
We have ideas what we're going to be doing. You know, and as we go, we get a better idea. You know, you're going to have in your mind, okay, this is the guy we feel is pitching the 9th inning. And right now, I don't know who it is, but it's probably, my mind sitting here, it's Colomé. All right, we know that Herrera has made his mark and won a world championship being the 7th and 8th inning guy. One of those innings with Kansas City. But he also had a chance to save some games after Davis left. So we're counting on him to be that. We're counting on a Nate Jones to be healthy and giving us his inning. You know, so you're making the game shorter that way, in those ways. But, you know, listen, it's scripted. You know, we know what we kind of, if we got the lead, are we down by one? Is it even? Is it up by one? What inning is it? We have guys for that, and we know the guys. And then we just try to plug them in. For instance, a Jace Fry. All right, listen, if there's 2 lefties and a righty coming up, pretty good chance Jace Fry's going to get that inning, you know. But Herrera, Jones, and Colomé have had good numbers against both righties and lefties when they're right. So we don't have to think about, you know, lefty righty with Colomé. We don't have to think about lefty righty so much with Herrera. And even Nate. You follow what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So it's scripted. You have an idea. We talk about it before the game. And after a while, then you have your guys. Okay, these guys seem to be like Cleveland, okay? Cleveland had four guys. If you're ahead in the game, you knew who you're going to see in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, maybe the 6th. If they were down by two runs, you knew the other guys you were going to see.
Thank you for your time.
You bet.
You're the man. Thank you, Lucas.
Appreciate it.
See you in 12 months right back on this set
again.
Sir. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Yalmer Sanchez is going to join us. Chuck and I will talk more White Sox baseball
on
Sports Talk Live next. And Tim Anderson joins us as well.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
And welcome back here to the Sox Fest at the Hilton on South Michigan Avenue. David Kaplan and Chuck Garfine. We've got Yalmer Sanchez and Tim Anderson.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, you asked me a question. I'm going to let you ask me again because I think the Sox have a damn good shortstop, and I know that they're out looking at other players, but they got to be real happy with what they've gotten out of you so far.
Yeah, man, I've been working. You know, I've been working my tail off, and I'm not a complete project. You know, I'm still growing. I'm getting better every day. So, a lot of room to grow.
So, does it bother you when you hear a particular player's name always bandied about and there's talking he's going to play that position or he's going to play your position? Does it bother you or nope?
Hell no. It don't bother me. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're all human. And if he takes a spot, then kudos to him. But at the end of the day, it's going to be tough to do. Because, man, I've been through a lot.
And you're coming to battle.
Right. None easy, none given.
No. You want to lead this? I think you should host this, by the way.
Nah.
Got any questions for us? Got a question for Yalmer?
I'll talk to him as we go along. You never know him. I can't ask him some stuff. I just got to say it.
Okay. Well, you saw him play shortstop.
Yep.
You were right there with him. You've seen him progress. How has he improved as a shortstop?
A lot. A lot. Like he said, he's still growing and he's been playing like really, really good shortstop, and I know this year or next year he's gonna be a Golf Glove winner. So I'm happy for him, and I've been playing with him since in a minor league. So yeah. I know how hard he works, and I'm happy for him.
In terms of playing the infield and playing in a place like Guaranteed Rate Field, in the warm weather that ball flies. Yep. And you guys both have pop to be able to get it up and get it out. What do you think you have to do to take your team to get this thing rolling? Because that division is wide open to win, and you guys have added some talent.
Just keep being dominant. And I think the most part is just really just go out and have fun. If you have fun, then the rest of it take care of itself. You won't really have to worry about, you know, going out playing hard. Because if you have fun, you're going to play hard regardless.
But is it hard to have fun as a big league player at times when your team is struggling or there's a lot of pressure to perform?
Yeah, it's hard when you know, last year we lost 100 games. But we go out every day and we try, you know, do our best and try to be the team that we played that night. And we try to have fun, you know. Even when you don't get the result, it's not because we don't try. We try 100% every day, but you don't get the result. So we have fun. We get everything we got, and that's all that matters.
That's all anyone can ask.
You have fun? You?
Sometimes.
Too much. He have too much fun sometimes.
I mean.
Too much fun. I
always say I work hard my whole life to get in big league, so I like to have fun and enjoy.
Yeah, you guys lost 100 games. You want to win, and since you've been here, you guys haven't had a winning team. How much hunger is there amongst you guys to turn this thing around?
Man, a lot, man. I think we're ready. We got a lot of young pieces, mm-hmm. and a lot of pieces that's gonna be with us. And I'm just excited, man. It's gonna be a heck of a time on the South Side, and I'm ready to rock and roll. And I think the guys are too.
I'm seeing a T-shirt here. Going to be a heck of a time on the South Side?
Or I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, rock and roll, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Don't matter, all the above.
What do you do in the off season to get yourself not only physically ready, because you're in great shape, both of you, but mentally ready for – it's a grind. Major League Baseball –
Thank you very much.
There you go. Stud. Major League Baseball is the longest of any professional season. It's not easy. How do you prepare yourself?
I think – more so just taking care of the body and being here and controlling the brain and just not overthinking it. You're just playing baseball. It's just a game. So, you know, you just if you keep it like that, then just keep it simple.
What do you think about the White Sox, you know, pursuit of a big-time free agent, a big name to come and join you guys?
I mean, they try, they do what they're supposed to do, you know, get a winning team. And our job is just go out and play hard every day and get better. That's our job.
Yeah.
We don't have to do nothing about, you know, free agency or, mm-hmm. you know, the trade. We're really happy with what we got right now. And, you know, if it, like, everybody say, oh, what about if Machado signed here? If he's not Machado, Jake, he's in minor league. He tried to take my spot. Mm-hmm. And Madrigal, he tried to take George's spot. If yeah. he's not Machado, it's everybody. So yeah. everybody right now is, oh, Machado. I just hope that he got a good deal, a lot of money, and signed, you know. But yeah. who don't want to get Machado? Superstar, whatever, you know, at the end of the day, everybody tried to take TA's
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, I think you know? For the most part, I think we should just worry about getting him here. And then when he get here, we'll worry about where we're going to put the pieces at.
Yeah, you'll figure it
at
out.
The end of day, yeah. At the end of the day, I'm an athlete. He's an athlete. Everybody's an athlete, so.
You're
play.
Playing short.
Yeah, you're right. I am.
Okay, so
I play everywhere. I play everywhere.
You do play everywhere. Just to get on the field. Yeah.
They don't want to ask me, but I know they think, oh, what about if Machado played third? Okay, I'm fine. If we get win the World Series, I'm fine with that. Yep. And I am be part of this team and help this team to win a championship. I'm good with that.
So. Okay, what you signed earlier in your career and took a contract. Some guys only go year to year. If they're a Scott Boras client, everyone says they're never going to sign. And I never under – now, again, I'm never going to make the money a major league player makes, but I never understood if a team committed to you and they said, hey, Tim, we want to give you millions of dollars, we'll guarantee it, why someone wouldn't sign it.
I don't know.
But a lot
it's
of players
crazy.
Don't.
I signed it. You got to think about it, man. I ain't had none when I started playing this game.
Did you have to think about it at all?
No. I just want to be treated fair, man. I just want to be treated fair. I'm not in this game to get greedy. I'm just in this game to have fun and take care of my family, man.
Thank awesome. You for your time.
For sure.
Thank you, y'all.
What about my time?
They're telling me I got no time.
Thank
You're
you very much.
All right,
thank
we'll you. Be right back. One more segment.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
That's going to do it for Sports Talk Live from Sox Fest. Thank you to everyone. Our coverage from the Hilton Chicago continues with the Rick and Rick Seminar with Han and Renteria and Bulls coming up at 6:30. Have a great weekend. See ya.